Blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Sharanam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Sharanam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sanghanam Sharanam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha nirodha, gamini patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassion and comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassion and aspiration that harms no one. By compassion speech that makes for clarity. By compassion self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassion livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassion endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 brave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Duryampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
we are indigent and suffering. And if ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So, what shall we look at this morning? Mickey?
Well, what came to me this morning when I was walking down here was that the earth is twinkling today.
The earth is twinkling, yes.
And what came right after that was, and I can do no less.
And you can do no less.
Yeah.
Mm. 1 second. Carol, would you mind if we send you a copy of the...
Not at all. Sorry.
And you can do no less. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just... And I, conditioning, says, well, I have a lot of reasons today not to.
Of course it
does. Yes, especially today. Mm-hmm. But you know, it just exposes that fundamental belief that there have to be certain conditions met in order to
twinkle,
in order to be an expression of the intelligence that animates.
Mm-hmm. That the contrast between the conversation and the response to the earth twinkling, mm-hmm, highlights how there's a conditional,
right.
There are conditions on what it means to be twinkling.
Right.
Why, when you twinkle, yes.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, just the, and it gets revealed over and over just how much there is the sense that I need to be comfortable, to be right, to be whatever, in order for things to be okay.
Yes. So it reveals that the various ways, the comfort and mm-hmm, how you need to be, how I needs to be, in order to be okay.
Yeah.
And so the experiences when we're with life, mm-hmm, that twinkling just is, because that's what the experience is. And then the conditioning has to come in on top of that in order to make you have a different experience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whatever this experience is, doesn't do it.
Right. Right.
Yes. Robs us of that, isn't it?
Hmm?
It robs us
it does.
Of
it does.
Twinkling.
It does. And, you know, when I'm in that identification,
mm-hmm,
that's all there is.
Yes, when we're in the identification, that's all there is.
Yeah, and I was noticing it in the... in the exercises on distraction,
mm-hmm,
where doing nothing for 10 minutes was not a problem.
Yes.
I can do that.
Yes,
So, but when I got to, so choose practice over entertainment? Well, does that mean I can't, you know, I mean, so it's like, well, then you can't do that because that would be entertainment.
Uh-huh.
Well, but I want to do that. I mean, it was just such an opportunity to see all of those ways in which, again, I believe if I don't do this,
Uh-huh.
I won't have the experience I want to have.
Uh-huh. So it moved from distraction. Fortunately, the next bamboozle, I think, is duality. Mm-hmm. Right? And
yeah.
So to be able to see how the conversation gets constructed in ways that distract the attention,
mm-hmm.
and then to see that orientation that says, well, if you can't be entertained, then you're not okay.
Right.
And it still cycles back into that same karmic orientation of conditionality in terms of how you're okay, even though you're completely okay, whether
right.
you just have the experience of being completely okay
right.
without having to be entertained.
Right. That's right. That's
uh-huh.
right. That's right.
Yeah. It's amazing to see how it works.
Yeah.
And that seeing allows us to make a different choice.
Yeah.
Because I project that the sense of okayness was available in that twinkling.
Yeah.
Was
exactly.
available
exactly.
in that place of
right.
not doing anything and not being entertained.
Right.
Which is why it has to be inserted
right.
as
yeah. Yeah.
something to attend to
right.
and
yeah.
Believed without examination.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that was what just arose was, well, I'm totally fine. Not even just fine. I'm great.
Yes.
In this moment. And I'm not doing anything.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, or to rephrase it, the goodness and the greatness is.
Yes.
And that
yes.
I don't have to do anything about that is actually an accurate statement.
Right.
right. Yes.
As a matter of fact, I can't do anything about that. And if I does try to do anything about that, it's not going to be that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so to short circuit that place and just drop back into,
mm-hmm.
you know what? Well, the important point that I think you're also making, Miki, is that it tends to want us to get into that conversation about the content of the of whether or not we should entertain ourselves.
Right.
Right? Because entertainment per se is never the problem. The
right.
content's never the problem.
Right.
The problem, if there is anything, is that we're not eliminating conditioning.
Yeah.
That's what's the distraction,
right.
not the entertainment.
That's
if
right.
I can be present 100%,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it is, the content I'm present to,
right.
then it doesn't
right.
matter what the content is.
That's right, mm-hmm. exactly, exactly.
Because
yeah.
what we're doing in not being distracted by entertainment is actually not the entertainment that we're not being distracted from,
mm-hmm.
but from attending to the conversation
right. Right.
about whether entertainment is good or bad.
Right. whether I should or shouldn't. Or
exactly.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
or what, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big morning.
Mm-hmm.
Was there more?
No.
Thank you. Oh, let's just keep get starting some more and come down this way.
Yesterday we had an opportunity to sit in orientation.
Yesterday we had an opportunity to sit in orientation. Yes.
With the guide giving the orientation and giving instruction in sitting meditation.
Mm-hmm. It's always such a gift, isn't it?
It was an amazing gift. And, one of the things I've been seeing with it is that it's not that I haven't heard some of the instruction for meditation previously,
mm-hmm.
but somehow it wasn't taken in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to just look at that spirit of repetition in practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to look at what, how often sometimes something needs to be presented.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. May I reflect?
Yes.
So, couple of things. One, it's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
There's an awareness about how there's a difference in how it's received each
mm-hmm.
time
yeah.
the instruction
yeah.
is presented. So we could say it from the conditioned perspective as I wasn't there,
mm-hmm.
or that which was present to receive it was there to receive it differently.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it lands because as we practice, we are wearing away that which prevents us from being truly receptive.
Yes. Yes. That's what I've seen. You know what? Last night we were given an assignment to process a map
mm-hmm.
Where we are in practice. And the first word that came up was committed.
Uh-huh.
And I just saw in this discussion the difference, possibly just being in that place of just commitment, mm-hmm. you know, and to just be 100%
yes.
available.
Here. Yes.
And not keeping any little bit out here, like.
For this,
yeah, yeah, like, well, I'll look at that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
That we don't park karma for future reference.
Yeah, I'll just see how that fits into my worldview.
Yes. Oh, that's so important. Okay. Because the my worldview is maintaining me.
Yeah.
And so anything that doesn't fit in my worldview is not worth looking at until later. Mm-hmm. And to bring that awareness, which I think deepens as we practice, that there is no tolerance for that anymore.
Yeah.
Right? That's commitment.
Yeah.
And that's willingness, is when we deepen our resolve not to tolerate conditioning, because there is a deeper and deeper willingness to want to have the alternate experience. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the lines from the daily recollection. I'm choosing suffering or I'm not choosing suffering. And if every time I say I'm not choosing suffering, that resolve deepens. And that reception that you were talking about changes, right? Mm-hmm. Because now we're open. We're mm-hmm. much more open to seeing what is the teaching at different levels and different depths and different ways. And conditioning's not standing in the way.
That's interesting. Because another thing that was kind of in the whole thing is a on is how, I mean, I'm just seeing so much how everything is about me.
Uh-huh.
You know?
How everything is
about me. You know? And how one moves from that place of everything being, you know, that all getting filtered through that me and that constructing me and, you know, to move out, you know? What is the movement beyond me?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
The movement beyond me. And that's what we practice. Mm-hmm. Because it's an interesting thing, right, Sequoia? We don't know. If everything is about me, what is watching that? Mm-hmm. Something that's not about me.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, part of the process we see conditioning do is to tell us we're not having the experience that we are having.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So yes. Only awareness can witness a process that says it's all about me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what we're conditioned to do is to leave that experience, to say, how do I make the movement outside of what's not me, when we've just had that experience? Because it's exactly that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. That's interesting.
Well, and then we practice with it.
Uh-huh.
Because when that arises, what we know is we drop it.
Yeah.
It's the conversation we're having at self-will, right? Uh-huh. When I hear myself say, how do I make it not about me? Stop having the conversation. Right? And get back here. Mm-hmm. Then look at the tree and say, I love you, tree. How do you love me? Mm-hmm. Now it's not about you. Uh-huh. Right.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And just so many things. You know, I've just been looking at relationships too, and how not to have a me relationship.
Not to have a me relationship, like in with another me, or with just this
me.
Uh huh.
You know what that means? To live on love unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I can see, that means that if it means anything, but it's. Be in that place of the tree that you just mentioned.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That the question of how to have a relationship with me that is unconditional is being asked by the same thing.
Uh-huh.
That keeps the question, not the and the belief alive. Uh-huh. And so it's a very paradoxical place, right? Because as long as I'm in that question, I'm separate. But I'm not in that question. The question doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yep, and I can just, yeah.
That's why it's always drop it.
Drop it.
As soon as we drop, because awareness is always aware, we're always witnessing, and in practice, what we practice shifting is the perspective, right? Instead of going into conditioning to ask the question, we just drop the conditioning and we're in the answer.
Yeah, I just hear these big crashes everywhere. Yeah, just drop it.
Yeah, just drop it. Because we, within quotes, know that experience.
Yeah, and maybe it's just going back to where we started originally about that being able to receive things at a deeper and deeper level.
Yes.
And to just, to have that commitment, that willingness to just drop it.
Yes, and to look at it takes a while till we get to this in practice, right? Because it's all the stages of practice. First, we're unconscious. Then we understand there's egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, and then we report on all our processes and all our karma and all of that. And then as we keep going through it, developing the awareness to contain it, all that karma wears away. And then we have to make that conscious movement in practice, which is, how do I stay in awareness? How do I not give the narrative over to conditioning when I am in bliss? Right? And so when we hear ourselves asking the question that takes us out of here, we stop, drop, and consciously go, what does here look like? All our recordings are about what is this place? And you're right, it is a training in receiving.
It is a training in receiving. Well, I'm in commitment to training and receiving right now.
willingness is the name of the key.
Thank you.
Carol.
I had an experience yesterday of twinkling.
Twinkling? Oh, this is good.
So
yes.
You said something, Ashwini, and Sherry said something in my guidance with her that really sort of tore off the veil, and I've been for a long time in this place of thinking that, believing that life is, the universe is an unsafe and unfriendly place full of loss and pain and suffering.
Yes.
And yesterday I finally saw that that is just the story conditioning is telling me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's take that in. Is telling me. Yes. When we look at it through that perspective, it is hostile and horrible because it's a process of suffering.
But I thought that was life. It was so talked to me, so bamboozled me, I thought that was life.
Wow.
So yesterday, after I heard you and Sherry say those things, I went for a walk, and every tree and flower and cloud that I passed and bird, I told them I loved them, and I said, do you love me? And it was just so clear that they all love me.
Oh!
And that the air I was breathing loved me, and that everything was just love. I was walking through these molecules of love.
Yes.
And I thought, hallelujah. This is just my,
yes.
I get it. This is my authentic nature. This is the authentic nature of life. Not all that crap that I believe.
Yes.
And
truly religious, doesn't it?
Yeah. It was just such a moment of grace. Yes. Such a moment of grace.
Yes.
I just am feeling so, so grateful for that.
Yeah. Did you record it?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Good.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Because that's what it tends to take it away from us. But, you know, when we drop the story and when we're present 100%, no matter what it is, it's that level of wonder and joy and acceptance and non-suffering, even if it's painful. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Yeah, the divine is what is the Thomas Merton quote? Mm-hmm. That the divine is shining transparently through everything. Mm-hmm. We just have to be here to receive it.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Just wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you. Pasha.
I'm grateful for this retreat, to be able to come just for a weekend. It's like a cherry on top of the cake.
A cherry on top of the cake, yes.
And I've never been here during this season, so everything is the same, but everything looks different. And also I see how I'm arriving to my heart here and feel home. And I see this little sprouts, grass or something is just everywhere, greens are growing on the rain. And for me, this represents my my new behaviors. This is where I cultivate the things that I want to grow. And usually when I go back, okay, retreat is over, now it's real life, now it's like, okay, somebody has to go to work, and all these little sprouts get trumped by the real things. So this is a good reminder to be careful and bring them there to cultivate and grow and be gentle with them. So this is such a great opportunity, as in such a short retreat, I'm still kind of, usually what happens, there is a kind of a change.
Yes.
But now, it's like transposed, somebody from there was here, and I want to bring this here, there.
So let me make sure I'm with you. So it's like coming home. Mm-hmm. It's just a slice of, an interruption. Like it's a weekend, not a long retreat, where there's a process of transformation that's possible. And it's start to see the identification, the ability to reconnect deeply with the heart. And the season is perfect too. I mean, it truly makes us religious because we're given exactly what we need to receive. And the teaching that you're taking with you is that all of these little behaviors, your love of practice, your wanting that place of connection, are these tiny little sprouts that are just coming up, and that there's a certain gentleness that we need to feed them and nourish them with. And instead of going back to real life and saying, leaving the retreat behind, that's the love and the care and the gentleness that you're carrying back with you as a way of incorporating those behaviors into life instead of letting conditioning trample them away.
Yes, but this reminds me also, I get into the habit of somehow conditioning gets me after retreat, like, wow, now you have all this energy, now I'm going to do the things I want to do, and I get into like behaviors that drain the energy. So this is a great opportunity. I don't have that much energy, well, it's been just like 2 days, so I'm going to be very watchful of that story, and just kind of continue on without going into this kind of story, like, oh, now I'm all changed, I'm all different, now my life should be different, and so on. Everything is the same.
Yes.
It's just small sprouts. I'm very careful, and I wanna practice changing the behavior.
Yes.
Because after retreat, there is always opportunity. Oh. I can go the old way, or I can see, you know, what's a new way.
Yeah.
Those opportunities are real.
Yes.
As without the retreat, it's just like, wow, this addiction is so hard, like, I have to, like, sacrifice or kind of go through, like, a big drama of quitting the behaviors. Now, after retreat, these opportunities are there, and I want to be with those sprouts. I want to grow them kind of in small ways. I want to make a big change. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's very interesting how the intelligence that animates teaches us, mm-hmm. right? The lessons we need to learn. Because it gave you some very good information.
Yes.
Which is, you don't have to go on a 7-week retreat for transformation. Mm-hmm. You could just come for a weekend. Mm-hmm. And you're right there at your heart.
Yes.
And it gives you that information that what might be a better way to work with the addiction mm-hmm. is to go step by step. This gives, if there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of ability for egocentricity to take it over for itself.
Yeah.
But in this place of gentleness, there is an awareness mm-hmm. that the steps that you need to cultivate are behavior changes, mm-hmm. and they're really, really small, and they're real choices.
Yes.
Right? This or that. Do I want my heart or do I want conditioning? Not take all of that energy to make an effort to transcend egocentricity, which just gives all the energy back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know you're coming back for a weekend, Pasha. Renee.
What a beautiful conversation.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the earth in this configuration is very inspiring, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. And I had the same experience driving over this morning of the trees and the birds and everything was twinkling,
all
and all the little
and
drops on the plants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, and on our after our conversation the other night about self-will and all that, I saw a really huge thing and it was related. What it is that conditioning can't transcend conditioning.
Yes, conditioning cannot transcend conditioning. Absolutely not. Yes.
And so only life can?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I had an experience.
And has.
And has.
And is in every
and
moment.
And is and does. And
yeah.
Yeah. And so the processes that I saw were it's a process of denial, which it seems like that's what conditioning is a process of denial of what
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
And something was brought into my awareness, and I could just feel my skin crawl. Mm-hmm. Like it was just like, I can feel it right now.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's goosebumps or skin crawling, but
well, it depends on your perspective.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Which is what we're talking about.
When it seems like when it first happens, it's skin crawling, and then after you start to go back into the awareness,
yes.
you know, you're
mm-hmm.
then it's goosebumps,
yes.
right?
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. And so just to see, and it seems like these two processes are so deeply conditioned. I call one denial and one not seeing things as they are, or acquiescing.
Uh-huh.
So it's like acquiescing to conditioning.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And, you know, and not, and so if you're in that, if I'm identified with it, which is what I was seeing, is if I'm identified with it, conditioning starts to try to figure out how to overcome it.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Yeah.
So you're watching the way in which the setup happens.
Mm-hmm.
So conditioning itself, we call it loss, lack, and deprivation, right? So,
mm-hmm.
or suffering is wanting something to be different than it is. So what you're noticing is the denial of what it is, and acquiescing to the way it should be, which is also conditioned,
mm-hmm.
those are the processes of identification
mm-hmm.
that the attention gets snagged by.
Mm-hmm.
And once we're in that, what you're also noticing is that conditioning attempts to overcome denial
mm-hmm.
or overcome acquiescence instead of stepping out of the system completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so we come to that place in practice where we think we're practicing, because we're doing all the practice things of trying to overcome denial and collusion, but what's doing it is conditioning,
right.
and we don't see that.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's a phenomenal experience to see
yeah.
that the conditioned process is trying to overcome the conditioned process, which stays,
yeah.
keeps everybody and the attention in the conditioned process.
Right. It's like,
it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. And the same coping strategies, or whatever you want to call them, kick in.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's an assumption that if I'm doing that, there's something wrong with me.
Yes, we're doing the...
Doing denial or
uh-huh,
doing...
Right.
You know, that's the
right.
first interpretation is I should
yeah.
feel bad about this because
so you need
I'm,
to fix it. Yes.
I'm not perfect and I'm not doing
yes.
it right.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of it's not even me and dropping it,
yeah.
which is the best
yes.
advice that you can take is drop it.
Yes.
And then be in awareness, because life is the only thing that can transcend it.
Yes.
But it just doesn't feel like that.
Not when we're in the identification.
Right.
Which is why we have to practice that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at this morning. There's a wonderful little, I think we talked about it on retreat, a little story about the Buddha, where everybody wants to know what happens to the personality when nirvana happens. Like, where does the self go? And he never used to answer those questions, and then he does it with one of his monks who's really, really good. He says, where does the self go when, you know, nirvana happens? And so he gets this little lamp, and then he lights the lamp, and then he blows out the lamp and says, where does the flame go? Mm-hmm. When you blow the lamp out. Mm-hmm. When you know that, we can sit under the tree and talk about what nirvana is like. But it reveals how conditioned mind thinks of the flame as an object that has to go to some place. It's only there in that moment that it's there. Mm-hmm. When it's not there, it's not there.
Right? It's like,
and
it comes into existence and then goes out.
Yes,
of existence.
And the deepest belief is conditioning is real. Mm-hmm. That's why we don't know where it goes. That's where the question comes from. But the personality is an illusion. It's not real. It doesn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? So when we don't attend to it, it's not there.
Exactly.
And it's revolutionary because this just can't grasp that. It's a mental event.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And the part where I don't see it is what... So it's like, you know, I was conditioned to do this behavior, okay, this process, mental event, you know, and so there's a denial of what is, and I'm not aware that I'm in the denial of what is. I'm in the, let's go find another book that's going to help me figure out how to do this, or look on the internet, or whatever, you know, find, problem solve. Mm-hmm. Not even knowing that I'm in that, and it's so conditioned, it feels like just the body crawling thing, you know, the so built into this system. Then I popped out of it and go, whoa, wait a minute, mm-hmm. There's an awareness, then the awareness mm-hmm. is there that mm-hmm. that's the same system.
Yes, yes.
That's trying to, it's denying what is, trying to fix what is, which isn't. And
yes,
so it's just, you just have to completely just go talk to the tree.
Yes, exactly. It's so paradoxical. It's double bind, right? It's the only thing I cannot get out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's why we do awareness practice, because awareness practice allows us to become aware of that process, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So now that you've seen it, the practice, you record what it feels like to be in it. You listen to it so that... What you train the awareness to do is to become aware when you're identified. Mm-hmm. And you've had, I project you've had this experience in practicing with something. Suddenly you become aware you're in the process of identification. Mm-hmm. And so the time it takes for us to become aware of it, we can actually make smaller and smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as I know I'm reaching for the book, if the awareness has been practiced, I'm aware I'm in conditioning, mm-hmm. and I can drop it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the expanding awareness allows us to be aware of conditioning, and that's what awareness practice is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then you know how to turn the attention.
Right.
Yeah. You know how to go talk to a tree. Mm-hmm. And you also know that for the first 15 seconds it might not work, because we're doing this.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to record it, definitely. That's a really good idea to record how it feels to be in that, the skin crawling and all of that.
Yeah, that you've seen it. And now what you want to do is to have the awareness expanded to catch it as it happens,
right.
And then stop it from happening. That's extinguishing self-will.
Yes. And the other part of it is it can go on and on and on about a certain piece of content for a really long period of time, and all I can project is that life's not ready for me to see it. I don't,
yes.
You know, because there's no solution, there's no... It's just this constant conversation about that content, unless I drop it over and over and over again.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden...
And all of a sudden, the veil lifts and
the ocean parts, and you're like, there it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and contrary to what conditioning says, our relationship with it is never the same again. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll record that too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Rebecca.
Wow. Okay, so my contribution to this whole wonderful conversation, same thing, but just a different little point of view. So I have two topics, and I bet you they're related. The first one is around what the guide's orientation to sitting practice yesterday. It was just amazing. And there were two things in particular that struck me and that I either hadn't heard before or definitely did not hear that way. But the first one was, and she said, at the bottom of the exhalation, at the gap between the bottom of the exhalation, drop in the number.
Uh-huh.
No? I mean, just that one little image, you know, you drop in the number. Because, you know, I mean, there, you know, I've been meditating a long time, right? So it would be inhale, one, exhale, you know, two, you know, and then it would be, okay, one, I don't know where I would go at that point, you know, but so it would just not be, there were just all of these techniques or these ways that ego was counting, you know,
yes.
Or
a different way of putting it is, we are not aware of the assumption of the breathing.
Yes.
Till something reflects it for us, that it brings into an awareness, which meant, that's not how I breathe.
Yeah, but I can.
But you can.
Because I know what she's talking about.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so it was so fun. So this morning I was practicing with that, and I saw, so I saw the, there's the space, drop in the one, and then do on, drop in the two. And then I saw how conditioning globbed on, as it loves to do, and makes it a thing.
Yes, that you have to do.
Content, right? Mm-hmm. So now it's all not about the process anymore. It's about content of, you know, whatever it all
and
says.
Oh, wow, if there's no space, what am I going to do? Or
if I have too big of a space, then I'm out of breath the next time. You know, all of that. Right? And so I saw that. Mm-hmm. And then and when I was seeing that, this image dropped in of how it is such a dance.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing is just such a dance. So here's the breath, the lead, right, the lead partner, and here's the meditator, whose job is to follow, and every now and then dip or drop in the number, right, and how here's ego, who's wanting to come in and control everything, right? And it's just so, you know how when, I don't know, like the image was during a jitterbug, doing a jitterbug, when if the person following does not follow well and tries to go under the arm before the arm is raised, or before you drop in the number before it's time to drop in the arm, or you're just focusing on counting, when is it going to happen? You know, it just ruins the dance.
Yes.
But if you're just there, with this partner that you love, the breath, and just following this wonderful lead partner, all you gotta do is drop in the number, and then follow.
And it even gets better than that, right? Because the number drops in.
That is true. Though that was the other thing I was saying, because then it was like, okay, so here's this whole dance. Who's watching this?
Yeah.
You know, who's? It's what you were saying. Awareness is always aware.
Yeah.
So when I'm not, when I'm delighting in the dance and not being the dance, then that's when the number just drops in.
Yes. Because you're not being the person dancing.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. I'm not being, one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I think the point that you made, both points you made, were real. Let me just underline that, because I think it's really important, which is the first process of noticing that the breath is, there's a certain way that breathing happens that has been taken over by conditioning, mm-hmm. and then noticing that there's another way to breathe, and then watching how conditioning wants to take that too as the content,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the information received in the first insight is applicable to the second insight, because shortly afterwards you might actually get into the habit of not paying attention to how the number is being dropped at the bottom of the exhale. So in other words, you're being given the big information that it's all about the process, not about the content.
Right.
Followed by the dancing implies if we're dancing with the breath, we have to pay attention to how the breathing happens because the dance is not pre-choreographed.
Exactly.
Which is what conditioning is trying to tell us, right? Yeah. At the bottom of the exhale, there's a space in which you drop a number.
Yeah.
We have to do that every single breath.
Yeah.
Not the breath changes, that the breath moves and that the breath deepens and the attention wanders. And how does the attention dance with the breath is completely different in every moment.
Yes, and because when we are the followers, you know, it's like sometimes we're doing the two-step and sometimes we're doing a jitterbug and sometimes we're doing a waltz and we're not in charge of that. We're just the follow, you know, we just get to dance.
Exactly. Yeah. We just get to dance.
Yeah. And it's just so...
makes meditation a very different
experience. Yes. Uh-huh.
Thing.
Yeah. It really does. It's so beautiful. And so do we have time for... So the wonderful the assignment of process mapping where we are in practice. So I saw this, and this is the second time this has happened, come up in the last couple of weeks, was this the process of looking at, I'm feeling a little emotion come up, that's interesting. Looking at where I've been the last 2.5 years since moving here, the journey, the process, and there have been so many, so many twists and turns and ups and downs and curves and straight paths and everything, you know. So last night when I was doing the exercise, it was such a neat process. I mean, that was the focus, was just there. It wasn't like me first art, was it? There was none of that. It was really seeing all the different processes, and a contrast came up to mind that many years ago, or, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, when I was doing a lot of writing coaching with, I was working with a writing coach, there was always this, she wanted me to write about me, you know, and even kind of this, you know, essays and memoir type stuff, and I was a big resistance to doing that, and what I saw was that this process, even though it was technically about this person, it's totally different because it wasn't about the content. It was about it was a process. It wasn't about a me.
Yeah.
It was about a life in a way. You know, and so even though when those last two times that it's come up to do that, to review, sort of look at this journey that I've been on the last 2.5 years, there was some resistance to doing that. Like, I don't want to look at me, you know. But there was a willingness to do it, and so because of that, I got to feel the difference.
So I'm going to reflect, and then there's several things interesting about that, right? So in doing the process map, there was an awareness of how different it was, because yes, it's a journey, but it's a journey of process, not the journey of a person.
Yeah.
And there's that awareness of resistance to writing about me. And two things drop in, right, Rebecca? One is, it's so interesting that me does not want to write about me, just simply because conditioning doesn't think anyone is worthwhile.
See, I would have gone just the opposite. I would have thought me would have loved to have written about me, because
it doesn't matter, because me is always a process. Anything, me is dissatisfaction.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It doesn't matter. So long as it's focused on me, it doesn't matter whether it's a bad me or a good me.
Yeah.
Right? And so just that, there are two aspects of it that are interesting. One is how, the conditioned system that dismisses anything, including the life.
Yeah.
Right? That's one aspect of it. And the other that's interesting, too, is it's so true that our practice is the transcendence of personality. We are becoming nobody. So to be intuitively aware of the fact that that's not what we want to perpetuate mm-hmm. is a measure of our practice. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The process of our practice, that there's a disintegration and a disinterest in anything egocentric.
Yeah.
And so it's a really exquisite teaching, right? Because everything that's life is universally all, and everything that's karmic is also universally impersonal. And to stand at the edge of being able to celebrate the divine expression in the individual without taking credit and without taking blame,
but just offering,
that's the edge we practice in.
Wow.
Yeah? Because we don't want to diss the twinkling of life. Mm-hmm. We don't want to take any of it personally either. Mm-hmm. Either in its celebration or in the karmic content. Mm-hmm. And so it's delicious to be aware of all of it. Mm-hmm. Because the awareness is witnessing. Which I project is that experience of being able to watch it at a process level and not take any of it personally.
Yes, exactly. And get to, now that you're saying this, what I realized also was there last night was this deep appreciation.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Gratitude.
Yeah.
That the journey was possible, that there was so much learning.
That someone kept showing up.
That life kept showing up.
And yeah, thank you. And that there was so much support.
So much support.
Yeah.
Yeah, ascending that ladder of conscious awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Allows us to have a very different perspective when we look back.
Thank you.
June! Wow, we have to get some hands on this one.
That was amazing. Thank you. I too have been practicing with breathing at the bottom of the exhalation and sort of all the way through the exhalation, counting at the bottom. And I wasn't here for the sitting clinic yesterday. I hope it was recorded.
It was. Good. We'll get you one.
Okay. And so this morning's meditation, I was between drifting around, I would come back to and count, and there would be a number at the bottom of the exhalation. And it's so in the hands of ego that I feel my tongue move with the count. One. I can feel the body counting.
Uh-huh.
And so when it was just shared that, what Sherry said was a number drops in. Mm-hmm. What, I got a kind of memory of the guide also saying any number of times, something along the lines of, it's not about getting to 10.
No. Mm-hmm.
And because the voice said when I was sitting here practicing seeing if a number would just drop in is, well, I'm never going to remember to get to 2. I'm not going to remember what number I'm on. How are you going to count to 10 if you're not there doing it yourself?
Uh-huh.
You're not going to remember. I just got it. It's not about getting to 10.
Yes.
Yes. If it's 1 every time, okay.
Yes, you're there for it.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So what arose there was, blessed is the knowledge of emptiness.
Yes, yes, blessed is the knowledge of emptiness.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the question that, well, empty of what? And if I were explaining this to someone, what would I say? What do you mean by emptiness? Emptiness of what? Well, emptiness, first of all, I think, of taking any of it personally. Mm-hmm. A judgment, of assessment, mm-hmm. of better ideas, of trying to get somewhere of the conditioning and all of its shenanigans.
Yes, yes. That is the blessed knowledge of emptiness, is that there's no conditioning. And what you're describing is comparison and judgment and assessment and personal and taking it, getting it right, and all of those things are what conditioning is. Yeah. I mean, if that makes sense, English language wise. Yeah. That is the knowledge of emptiness. When this, it's so interesting, right? So we're sitting in meditation and watching for that space in which the number would drop, and the voice would say, well, if there is nobody counting, you're not going to get to 10. It's such a revelation of that system, because there has to be an I, someone has to be in control, it has to be manufactured, and it actually doesn't care whether you get to the number or not. And yet it wants your attention through that conversation. And to recognize that, wow, that is what's destroying my knowledge of the blessed knowledge of emptiness. And it's not about getting to 10. Yeah. We're just here. And I think, and I project, right, June, when we have that experience, we do get to 10.
Maybe we do lots.
and we'll see. So if it's not about getting to 10, it's what we were talking about as the double bind of the eye, right? It's never going to get to 10, because it's the process of not getting to 10. It's the process of going unconscious. So if we leave that process, wonder of wonders, what will show up? Because intelligence can certainly count to 10. And so, yeah, just to bask in, I don't know, but I'm just going to be here, and I'm certainly not going to listen to that.
Yeah, and of course, right now it's saying, you can't do that. Well, yeah, you can.
Yes.
You've been working at it for quite a long time now, and you haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, it really renews our, it's truly, to me, that blessed is the knowledge of emptiness comes up, right? Because in emptiness, you don't do anything. And that's sort of, I was mentioning this in a kitchen meeting yesterday, that the devil doesn't have, God doesn't have a problem with the devil, only the devil has a problem with God. So the emptiness does not have to say anything. You know, unity does not have to defend unity or resist separation, because it is everything. Mm-hmm. Only that which is separate has to argue for unity, because it doesn't know the experience. Right? And that's the experience we're having. When we're here, when we're blessedly empty, there is no question that you'd get to 10 or not. Something has to argue for that not to be a possibility. And that is what we're emptying out of the attention. Right? Takes a practice to settle into the transparency of the divine, because it's not our default orientation.
Thank you.
Stephanie.
I'll be quick. I love this conversation. It's so awesome. And I love that we did the orientation with Sherry, too. Mm-hmm. And I remember years ago, I just don't like the counting, and counting so hard. And I, too, had the same revelation of, oh, just drop that number in.
Uh-huh.
Because I would also do the, you know, one, two.
Uh-huh.
Wait, where's the number? Wait, it's a number here. And it's just amazing. Something so simple has all of life in it.
Yes.
The whole process is right there.
Yes.
Which is just makes, that's what makes it fun.
Yes.
To practice.
Yes.
Is, and doing a walking meditation, I noticed, like, oh, do I breathe with my feet? And every breath is different.
Yes.
Every breath is, you know, different. They vary, and there is nothing wrong. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's very cool. And you know, Stephanie, I think what you're pointing us to is there's an evolution of practice.
Yes.
Right? When we start out and that there's a deep identification with conditioning, then everything looks a certain way, going back to what Sequoia's talking about. And as we keep showing up and as that gets worn away, what's left is intelligence open to receiving the instruction in a completely different way.
Yes.
And we go from a place of suffering to wanting to practice freedom and it being joyful.
Yeah. It's a wonder.
It's a wonder.
We don't
take it personally. And we get to have that experience of that oneness is everything, that all of life is contained in everything, in a breath, in the process of breathing, in the process of watching how breath happens, in resisting the structure that's, you know, assisting us to watch that. And all of it's just part of the process of waking up.
I just want to say one more thing,
yes.
Which is in, you know, going through how to meditate again, going through orientation again, and my projection of the patience. Patience is a thing for me. I'm learning Tai Chi also for patience, but where I don't think I have that patience, but if I project these other people as so patient, I think I must have it in me. If they're that patient and I can see it, I must be that patient as well.
Absolutely. Because ultimately what you're recognizing is impatience is not you.
Right.
Impatience is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Mm-hmm. So in recognizing that patience is the attribute of life, we're resonating and acknowledging that it's an attribute of this individual expression of it too. Right? Mm-hmm. And therefore, really, really making that important movement in practice of not owning or taking karma personally.
Yeah, I am not impatient. It is impatient.
Yes.
Right.
And your practice is to stop identifying with it and turn the attention to the patience that you are.
Great stuff.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
Scott.
A quick summary. Just feeling grateful. The assignment last night to look at the process of practice and so much resistance to that. And I can see why. And what I'm just seeing is what you just said a little bit ago about the divine is not our default orientation.
Yeah.
And that the self-hate conversation that seems particularly tailored to me is like, it's like a radio in the background all the time. And if I'm not directing the attention or not, you know, being the awareness, then it's going to be on that self-hating conversation.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's like that. It's just that thing where you get it again clearly.
Yes.
Because I was taking
the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention.
And I was taking it so personally, you know.
Yes.
And I just saw it going on in this group, actually, where if I allowed the attention just to kind of, you know, it gets told to me like you're relaxing, but really the attention is just allowed to wander.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of listening to people, but through the filter. And of course the filter is comparison. And what's wrong with you? Look at these people and what they're doing. You're not like that. And then I would just bring my attention here. And then the conversation was, wow, I'm in, you know, the presence of divinity and inspiration and transformation.
Yes.
Same people talking, same conversation. Completely, and it's just like, just the mechanism was so clear. And again, the non-personality of it was, non-personalness of it was really clear too. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, and let me reflect, because it's such a beautiful way to end our group this morning, which is the experience of seeing where the attention is resting. And knowing that our experience is where the attention is. And so if it's on a self-hating conversation, our world is comparison and condemnation. Wasn't there a peace quote this morning or yesterday about how divinity, we do not know our authentic nature if there's a measure of condemnation or comparison present?
Yes.
Right? Because that is the process of suffering. And then when our attention is here, and our experience is of wonder, And the framing of that is, it's all happening here.
Yeah.
Right? What is the lens that is through which the life is being attended to?
Yes.
And it's so true. We touched on this yesterday, that so long as we seek life mirrors, our experience will be life. Because, wow, the divinity is everywhere implies that there's a connection to the divinity within. Because
yes.
Otherwise there isn't the ability to see it anywhere else. And so, such an important practice to cultivate not paying attention to self-hate, but also to cultivate seeking the mirrors of patience and wonder and love and trees.
Yes, all the time. Just
as
people were saying, walking around, asking the trees, if I love you, tree, do you love me?
Yeah, because that's the experience we all want to live in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think just quickly the bamboozle has been, I'm doing these practices, and then there's like a quote relaxing in between the practices.
Uh-huh.
And that's the going unconscious.
Yes.
So that walking around, being in interaction with what's actually occurring, making recordings about what's going on in the body, what am I seeing right now, what am I hearing, just keeping that attention here all the time is really the edge for me, and I'm excited to take it
yes.
on.
Yes, and may I suggest something, Scott?
Yes.
That we were talking about this yesterday, I think in group with Sherry, that the object becomes the source of our, the conditional construct of our experience. So the practice is where I will receive love or be love. And to be able to do what you're talking about, which is just the structures aren't the only places of the experience of unconditionality and unconditional love. Because then what conditioning does is it's only, if you don't have the structure, you can't have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're tuning into is, that's actually now been taken over by conditioning in
yes.
some sense, and your practice has to be where there isn't the structure to search for the unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because when I'm practicing, I have all my attention on this, and I'm really, you know, sitting and meditating and inviting that mirror of unconditional.
That's truly unconditional.
That's truly unconditional.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all.